everyone. Welcome back to Our Blue Bahamas, where we talk about our ocean and how it sustains our way of life. I am your host, Jasmine Colley, the Outreach and Education Officer at Brief. And today we have three special guests from our Eco Schools Network. We have our very own Eco Schools Coordinator, Miss Ariadne Munnings, and we have two wonderful members of their Eco Club. But before we get on to it, I just want to just tell you what a little about our Eco Schools program. It is the largest sustainable schools program in the world, with over 59,000 registered schools in 72 countries. And Brief is the registered coordinator of this program, which is a part of FEE. And we, in the Bahamas, we have over 50 schools registered as a part of the Eco Schools Network. And today we have special guests from our very own CC Sweeting's Eco School Club. So I'm going to give you guys a chance to introduce yourselves. How about you, Kendall?
Hello, my name is Kendall Brooks, and I'm the head boy of CC Sweeting Senior High School, and it's a pleasure to be here.
And I am Livingston Starr Jr., one of the current standing prefects in CC Sweeting Senior.
I am Miss Ariadne Munnings. I am the coordinator of the Eco Club, the Environmental Science Club at CC Sweeting School. I have led this club since 2022. It has been a wild adventure that I have enjoyed, ups, downs, all around since then.
Okay, so just getting started. So what does being an Eco Club mean to you? And I'm talking to one of our wonderful students. So Kendall, how about you answer that?
So to me, being an Eco Club, it means standing up for the community. To be the one to say that this is wrong and this is right. Because, you know, we all have to take care of our environment, whether it be the ocean, land, or sea. So being able to stand up, do the right things, make sure our environment is clean, that's what being an Eco Club means to me.
Wonderful. And at Brief, we do a lot of experiential programs, and where we believe that being in the ocean, or actually experiencing firsthand these ecosystems, are the best way to learn. So do you guys agree with that?
Yes, wholeheartedly. Absolutely.
And also, Livingston, tell us, what does being in the Eco Club mean to you?
Well, to me, being in an Eco Club means that I get to learn more about what I'm passionate about, and I'm well educated enough in order to spread awareness of the negative effects that we can have on our climate if we don't take care of it.
And then also, I would also like to give a big shout out to Ms. Munnings. And you said you've been spearheading the Eco Club at CC Sweeting for so long. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
So I initially got started with the Discovery Club through the Bahamas National Trust. And when they discontinued that, unfortunately, my students were still so excited to be a part of the club. I didn't want to tell them, well, there is no club. And so at first it was scary because I did not know what to do. I had a basic framework. So I have to say, I just kind of dove head first into it, and it's been scary and fun, and I want you to know it's been a wonderful learning experience for me. I teach Spanish, so I don't have a sciences background, but learning with the children, learning ahead of the children to make it come alive, to make the earth be more than just greens and blues. These colors have meanings, and for them to discover, and I like the fact that you mentioned that was very, that Brief prides itself on experiences, because me being able to bring those experiences to students who otherwise would not have had that experience has been the highlight of my teaching experience over those past few years. So I have to say it has rejuvenated my passion for education and making sure that students are getting the best of me and of what education has to offer.
Wonderful. And I like how you said that, you know, that you're not a science teacher. A lot of people believe that you have to be a scientist or have some type of scientific background to be a part and to appreciate the environment. And I think it's so important that everybody can have a part of it, whether they have different career interests. It may not even be your favorite subject, but it's just something that takes care of all of us. The earth, the ocean, it takes care of all of us. And I think that's so important how you mentioned that. So just giving a little bit background about like the Eco Club. So tell us what happens in your Eco Club, like for our listeners out there who have never heard about what being a part of the Eco Club is. Livingston, I see you're interested, so.
Well, at our Eco Club, we learn, like I said earlier, we learn about our environment. We have a garden coming up in front of the school. We're working on that. Sometimes we go out on field trip to get that real world experience, to be more aware and adapt with what we're actually dealing with. And it's very enlightening and I love it.
And what would you say your favorite activity in your Eco Club is?
Oh, definitely when we tend to the garden. When we actually go out there and we plant our saplings and we prune them if needed, we water them, we feed them their nutrition to help them grow. I love when we do that. And a little side note, I even make sure whenever I'm free after school, I always water them.
I should mention our garden is very much tended by Livingston. Some days I may forget the plants need to be watered. Livingston is coming on the holiday and asked me, what can I do? The plants need to be watered, and I am just here, go for it. He is so very dedicated to our little garden, and we're hoping to expand that.
And also, what about you, Kendall? What is your favorite activity in the Eco Club?
It's a lot about the learning, and whatever we learn, because every time we go to the club, I learn something new each and every day. And how we learn things, we are able to put them in action and put what we learn into practice. So that's my favorite thing about it.
Wonderful. And so, okay, so you're at school, you're tending your garden, and you're doing all these amazing experiences, right? So how does that impact when you go home? Is there a different, do you have a different view on some of the things that you've learned in your Eco Club, in your school, and do you bring any of those practices home?
As a matter of fact, when I go home, I actually have my own garden in my backyard. I'm currently growing cabbages and tomatoes. They're going very well. And I take what I learn from environmental science at CC and I practice it at home in my free time. So whenever I'm not able to make my trips to CC Sweeting to water the plants, which is almost never the case, I tend to go home and just deal with my personal plants.
Oh, wonderful. Do you have any siblings? Do you let your siblings or any of your family members help you in the garden?
My dad helps me water them occasionally when I'm not at home. My little sister is actually interested in environmental science. She's actually trying to grow her own mango tree at my grandmother's house.
Oh, wonderful. So we're seeing a pass on. We're also seeing a generational transfer. We're seeing parents getting involved, siblings, and also even your grammy. She's going to have a new mango tree in a yard. So what about you, Kendall? Do you want to add on to that?
Yeah, besides the gardening and planting and all of that, when I go home, I make sure to do things that can preserve what we have, like using less water, making sure everything that I use, I throw it in the garbage afterwards. It's all about preserving what we have and make sure we use them to its fullest extent.
I love what you both said in reference to like switching the mindset at home. Switching your own behaviors and have all those different generational knowledge transfers. I love the garden, but guys, I'm a little bit biased. I'm an ocean girl. I'm a lot of what Brief does. We do a lot of ocean activities. As you would have known, we have our field trips, which we plan with students. We have a lot of up-and-coming competitions that youths, just like you guys, can get involved with, like Young Reporters for the Environment, where you can actually talk about these things coming up. So before we're going to dive a little bit more into the ocean aspect of it. Have any of you guys been snorkeling with Brief before, and how did it feel getting into the water?
So I'll start. I'd like to say that ever since I was a little boy, I've always loved the ocean. I loved going to the beach. That's what I wanted to do every week. That's where I wanted to go. So being able to put that into action and go into the ocean and water with Brief, and even learning a new experience like snorkeling, that's something I haven't done before. So being able to learn how to do that, that's a very great experience for me to have.
And for me, I have been, let's see here. I have been at, say, our native beaches before. I used to go swimming with my dad when I was younger, and even moving to one of the family islands. We practically lived right in front of the beach. So when I walk out my front door, the coast is right there, and I'd always go swimming, and sometimes my mom would come with me. And even during my time in Rangers, when they'd have us jumping off the what is it called?
The platform. I was in Rangers too. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
But they'd have us jumping off that, and we'd have to try and swim our way back to shore. And, you know, I was one of the first to end up making it back ashore, so yes.
So have you ever been snorkeling with Brief? Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Oh, it is absolutely amazing. Last year, I believe it was September, we had a Saturday field trip at, what's the name of the beach? Sanders Beach. And they were having this open event, and I went, and before we got in the water, they gave us our life vests and our snorkels and our goggles, and they had a lot of patience with us, which I very much so admired, as it tends to, Bahamians tend to be a bit, you know, itsy, yes. But after they instructed us on what we should and shouldn't do, we went into the water, and it felt surreal. Being able to just float there and look at all of the marine life that was below me, it was amazing, and I would do it again.
I think you're mentioning one of our events where we would have a public snorkel, and we try to have one of those every month where we invite the public. And yes, if you don't know how to swim, we'll teach you. And like Livingston said, we're very patient. We understand that the ocean could be a little frightful for a lot of persons, especially Bahamians. A lot of Bahamians do not know how to swim. And something that you said, Livingston, that you lived right by the coast, but the reality is living in the Bahamas, we're always at least 3 miles away from a marine environment. So being able to interact with the ocean in a safe way is very, very important, and one of the main things we would like people to enjoy and actually know. So what about you, Kendall? Tell us about your experience diving. The reality is a lot of persons, especially young persons, have never ever been in the ocean. So tell us how the experience is.
I mean, that's crazy to not be able to go in the ocean, especially when we're always surrounded by water. But for me, it's basically the same experience as Livingston when I first arrived. You know, we had to put on life vest, our goggles, the things we breathe out of. And especially the fins, like, they're kind of hard to get used to. See, I'm used to using, like, my own feet, you know, kicking the water behind me. So you have to learn how to use the fins to be able to maneuver in the water. So that's something that I found a little difficult, but it's something that I continue to try to learn to improve on.
And also, Ms. Munnings, it looks like you want to add something.
So the first time I did the snorkel experience was at the Sea Beach Estates. That's normally where the community snorkel is. I decided maybe I should just get my hair wet. you know, black people, we're not going to get our hair wet. I have to say that. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
As a woman, I really don't want to get my hair wet, but I decided that's okay. I'll get my hair wet today. And I went for snorkeling. It is an experience that I will not forget. So I began a marine science course. And to see that there's just this, it's a tiny reef right outside of New Providence, literally in wading distance, that already had a little freak out. That was so amazing. And I saw parrotfish. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but parrotfish are my favorite fish. They signal that the reef is healthy. And so to see there were so many of the baby fish just hiding around and darting. There was sea anemone. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but for me, I had a whole, oh my God, I wish my camera was working moment. So now I'm on a quest to get a new GoPro because I want to be able to capture these moments. And it was just right outside of New Providence. So it wasn't even as though I had to fly somewhere to see these things. It was right there. And I mean, it was a whole myriad of marine fish, but for me, the exciting part was the fact that the parrotfish were there. Stoplight parrotfish, for those who may know. Specifically, stoplight parrotfish. I'd only ever seen them in books. And so to see them right in my backyard was amazing. And so those of you who may be contemplating giving it a try, please give it a try. You will not regret it. I took my godchildren, and they're still talking about it. So I'm going to bring them back.
Wonderful. I wish you guys can, all our listeners can see Miss Munning's face right now. She's completely lit at this, her whole face just talking about the experience. And also what I really, really wanted to make a point on is that all of our snorkel locations are beginner friendly. And like she said, wading distance, most persons can actually stand in the water. So it's we try to cater to an experience where it's very, very, even if it's your first time, you'll get to see a lot of things. And then also too, I want to talk about the biodiversity, and that just means the amount of life present on a coral reef. Coral reefs are actually one of the most biodiverse ecosystems in the world. So I really want to know, when you guys were snorkeling, is there one plant, one animal that really stood out to you? Miss Munning said she saw a parrotfish, and if anyone saw a parrotfish, they'll know how beautiful it is with so much different colors. But what about you two? You guys got to let us know.
Oh, well, I don't know the exact names of the fishes, but when I was snorkeling, there was a little school of little small fishes. They were just, you know, going around in the water. And it was so fascinating to look at, you know, how they maneuver inside of the water. And that's all I really remember. Well, as when it comes to biodiversity, I don't know all of the names of current, but I'm trying every day to learn more.
And listen, we all start at different levels, and we also have some coral reef slates that remind me, I'm going to give both of you guys that will actually sharpen up on your fish ID. But Livingston, anything stood out to you?
As for me, I saw a particular fish. It looked really pretty, but again, I still cannot remember its name. But it was black with white stripes, and it had a circular, like white and black ring, like just at the top of its head. I'm not sure what it's called, but it looked really pretty. We also saw some blue margins, I believe they're called.
Okay, so what the first one, what I'm going to, after this episode, I'm going to show you something and you'll tell me if that's it. But I'm really, what you described is a juvenile French angelfish. But I'll show it to you and you'll tell me if that's what you've seen. So how did these experiences change the way you think about how we as humans impact the ocean? Did you guys, so just tell us about it.
I'll start. So, you know, looking at how the fish go about their lives and how they experience life just like us, it just makes me want to protect it more. You know, a lot of people, they don't have any regard for the ocean life. They always pollute. you know, companies, oil spills, plastic, throwing plastic in the water, all of that. They don't know how much it's affecting the ocean life, or maybe they don't just care. So being able to see how they live their lives inside of the water, it just makes me want to protect them and stop people from polluting and help clean the water.
What about you, Livingston? How do you think, like, pollution or human impact, like, how it impacts the ocean? Did snorkeling change that for you?
Yes, it did. As when I was at the open event, I believe it's called, you mentioned that you guys have it once a month. When I went there, me and Kendall were actually there at the same time, and we were helping with the beach cleanup. And we came across a tire that was buried in the sand. We were trying, most of the time we were there, we were trying to remove it. But the fact that we couldn't get it out while we were there, it really broke my heart, because we're leaving trash there. And one of the reasons why we came there was to remove trash when we left. And from that alone, it made me feel like what I could have done wasn't, but what I was capable of at the time wasn't making much of a difference. And right now I'm trying to work on what I can do in order to make up for that moving forward.
But listen, you guys are doing an amazing job. With the beach cleanup, being active community citizens in your school, being a part of your eco club, carrying all of that knowledge back home, teaching it to your sister, having your parents get involved, that's a huge impact. And that's just one of the main reasons we have the Eco Schools program. Not just to be in a silo, just a class club, but so it can spill out in the community. So now we're having more persons getting involved with caring about the environment. But what I really, really, really want to ask you about is, how did it feel trying something new like snorkeling? Was it scary? Was it something that you would have done otherwise? So just tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get there and how it was.
Well, I've always grown up wanting to swim and just always being in the water. And when snorkeling came about, before we got into the water, I was very antsy. I was very full of anticipation because I wanted to just get in. I wasn't necessarily listening to the precautions, which I regret. But they had us in pairs, and Kendall was the one following most of the instruction. I was just following his lead. But in terms of the overall experience, I would definitely recommend, if you're looking for something, if you're trying something new to maybe find a new peace of mind or a new hobby or just trying to relax, I highly recommend scuba. It's very calming and rewarding.
Yes, and to add on to what Livingston said, it's a very rejuvenating experience. Like I said, I've always loved the water. So being able to try to snorkel, it was exciting, very exciting for me. And I just, like him, I was very anxious to be able to go in the water, but I actually listened, unlike him. Because, you know, it's always, even when trying new things, you always got to make sure you know what you're doing to some extent. And being able to protect yourself and others around you, that's a great thing to do when snorkeling, especially.
So I'm a new student who've never been in the water. I can't swim. So what would you tell me or any of our listeners who, what you guys are saying is amazing, but they're still a little bit, you know, intimidated to actually go in the ocean. What advice would you give them?
Well, Kendall is the one that heard most of the instructions, so I believe you should take this one.
Just don't be afraid. Try new things. You never know what you'll like until you actually try it. And I assure you that snorkeling, that's something, like, it'll be amazing to see. Like, when you're looking down with your goggles, you're looking all through the ocean. What you see or what you're able to hear, it's just an enlightening experience. And you wouldn't want to miss out on it.
To add on to that, like you said before, the the trips are open events that happen once a month. They're beginner friendly, so they start you off in shallow water, and if you feel comfortable, I believe you can try snorkeling towards deeper water in your free time, but always make sure that you bring someone with you.
Yes. You are listening. Sounds like you were listening. One of the rules when we're going into the water is you always swim, snorkel, dive with a buddy. So you were listening. That's one of our number one precautions when you do go in the ocean. So any of our listeners, you want to experience snorkeling, like I said, you can follow us on our page at Breef242, at BREEF242. And the flyer will be up, and we try to have one every month, weather permitting. And like I said, it's open to the whole family. You just have to be over the age of 8. There's no upper limit, so bring Grammy to the beach too. She can go snorkeling with us. So it's just really, really exciting to hear that you guys had such an amazing experience. So what would one thing you do differently after this experience to help the environment?
Well, firstly, I definitely pay attention more. but I'd say try to enjoy it while you can, because for me, I was having so much fun. It felt like we were in and out like that. So it was really quick. I wanted to go again, but I wanted to let other people have that experience too, so I couldn't just be, you know, greedy and take all of the time for myself. But yes, that is something I do differently, enjoy it.
And listen up, if you want more experiences, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities at Breef. So you can give us a call as well after this. Even if one of our listeners are available of helping us volunteer, you can call our office at 327-9000. I'll say it again, at 327-9000, and there are a lot of volunteer opportunities to get involved. And you don't have to wait for a public snorkel probably to get into the water with us. And I can't help but notice both you, Livingston, and Kendall, that you guys have class of 2006 on your shirt. So you guys are ending high school right now. You guys are at the end of the finish line right now. So how does the environment or being in your eco club inspiring you for your next steps after you graduate?
Well, when I graduate, you know, I want to be kind of a creator. I want to make new things, you know, revolutionize technology. So before this experience in high school, I didn't really think about all the environmental effects that could happen with technology. But now, after this, I now know that you should always strive to protect the environment. So when I make new things, I want to make sure they're all environmentally friendly, and that they'll only help the environment instead of destroying it.
That's amazing. What about you, Livingston? Do you want a career in the environment, kind of like me? I'm a little bit biased here. Or how does it shape your next steps?
Actually, when I enter university, I plan on majoring in marine science and sustainability. I have heard that there is an institution in Andrus called BAMSI that offers free tuitions towards Bahamian citizens, but I'd feel more comfortable being stationed in Nassau as I'm closer to my family, and being in one of the family islands by myself, that's kind of nerve-wracking. But yes, I am very much so interested in taking up a level of education in marine science.
Wonderful. And then also check some of the opportunities at UB. Also, they do have marine studies as well. But before we go, do you guys have any last words that you would want to inspire our youth in reference to being a part of the Eco Club, or even being a part of Breef programs?
So I'll say something. It's just to be an advocate. Everybody's affected by what is happening by the environment. We all have resources that we need to use out of the environment. So make sure when you see somebody doing something wrong, make sure you tell them to stop it. Tell them the negative effects that could happen to it, because it always comes back around. So yeah, that's what I'd like to say.
And I know a lot of the youth may not be interested in marine science, but even if you're not, at least try to, whenever you have like garbage on you or with you, maybe put them in some of the bins instead of leaving them on the streets. But yes, that is something that I would encourage our youth to do.
And then also, Miss Munnings, we want to hear from you. What do you think? And I love that you said that you're a Spanish teacher. So what would you tell the other teachers in reference to getting up, being a part of the Eco Club?
You don't have to be in the forefront to be a hero. And so don't be afraid. Everybody can do something. We all have a part to play in our environment. We are part of our environment. And so we can be either a part of our environment's destruction, or we can be a part of the solution. And so as simple as making sure students turn off the lights, making sure windows are closed, making sure that garbage is in its correct place, and encouraging students don't waste water. We don't go in the bathroom to play, and just reinforcing. And it seems, they seem small and they seem pretty infantile. However, those little changes have such dramatically big results. And so everybody can do their part. We can't do everything, but everybody has their part to play. And so if you can lend a hand here and there, if you can, like I said, encourage your students in front of you to conserve. We do a little recycling. You can put the cans aside, Cans for Kids. Shout out to them. Cans for Kids, of course, assist with recycling. Encourage students to recycle. Encourage them to reuse a plastic or to bring... I mean, I know everybody is a bit annoyed with the water bottles at this point, but to use them instead of the plastic bottles, and to just get into those conservation, that conservation mindset. It may not be, you may not have a whole heap of money or a whole heap of power to affect those sweeping changes. However, you can do something, and your little something will create much. And so that really is my advice to teachers.
Wonderful. And thank you guys for being a part of Our Blue Bahamas. We'll be back same time next week, and we'll be discussing about our ocean and how and ways to protect it, and how we are at Brief is affecting that change. So don't forget to follow us at Brief 242 and stay tuned with our updates.